Yes. Councillor questions. So would Councillor Omar like to ask his first question?
Good evening, Leader. My question is, could you please let me know if the officers produce annual parking report to show precisely where the council's parking revenues come from, how the money is spent, and is that report in public domain?
Yes, thank you, Asad. A breakdown of the parking review revenue is published in the annual Harrow Council Statement of Accounts, which I'm sure you read avidly. It also states where surplus is being spent. This document is published on our website, so is available to the public.
Thank you. Can I ask a supplementary?
Absolutely.
Thank you. As a portfolio holder, you may be aware, or more likely you may not be aware, that the House of Commons Select Committee report strongly recommends a clear mandatory parking revenue report in public domain by each local authority, including Harrow. There are quite a number of recommendations, but I will just name four before I ask my questions. One is that motorists should not have to appeal against a parking charge notice PCNs, where tribunal adjudicators have identified poor signage as one of the problems. Second is grace period of 5 minutes after the expiry of paid time. Cameras should not be used as a matter of routine, and parking income should in general do no more than cover cost. High and unintentional surpluses must be clearly explained. Now, can I ask you, as a portfolio holder responsible, give clear and categorical assurance to the residents and members that you will ensure these measures are taken on board and the report produced before the summons are produced for the next council meeting?
I don't know that it's actually come into being yet. I think they were talking about it. I think it's still at the talking at stage. Has it? It's consultation. So until clarity comes out of that, in fact, I had a meeting with Caroline the other day. We're responding to some of the things that Eric Pickles wants to do. So we're sending in a form regarding CCTV. That was the latest conversation I've had. So consultation is taking place. I don't know when that will come in. I know it was probably going to be months. So we'll have to see what comes out of the consultation as to what we can, should, and will do. It must be remembered that CCTV or the cameras... I'll put my teeth back in a minute. The cameras are very often used not just for parking or traffic contraventions. They're also used to keep us safe, so we must bear that one in mind. So let's see what comes out of the consultation. Until such time, I can't comment, Asad. I'm happy to comment once we know what we're supposed to do.
My information is that the recommendations were published back in... I think October or November, a few months ago. So I thought...
I don't think so, but I'm happy to be corrected. I'm sure you know a lot more than I do, but I do know that we're answering a consultation, and that consultation answer to the consultation hasn't gone out yet. I'd love to think that if Eric Pickles said something, we all jumped, because then that would mean that we all did everything that my government is saying, but I do believe things have to go through consultation first.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Councillor Phillips, you're next, and I think you're asking this of Janet Moat.
I am indeed. Okay. I'll find it. Local residents who live near schools often complain about the inconvenience caused by parents who park in areas that clog up the roads and cause disruption when dropping and picking up their children at school. What is portfolio holder doing to give protection to local residents?
Thank you, Bill. The problem of parents parking outside schools has been a national problem for many years. The Council's adopted Transport Local Implementation Plan accords with regional and national policies to tackle this problem by promoting the use of sustainable transport modes such as walking, cycling and public transport in order to reduce the number of journeys by private car and improve road safety and reduce traffic congestion. This change in attitudes can only be achieved by influencing travel behaviour, and this is done through the development of school travel plans in conjunction with school communities. You have just heard the leader speak to a member of the public about how people ignore the parking rules and entirely, and how they have no regard for the law at all. And obviously, it's absolutely shocking for the people that live very near to schools.
Supplementary.
Oh,
thank
yes.
you. Yes, if I can make also, as part of the supplementary, a heartfelt plea for those of us who serve on the planning committee, because each school that is going to go through on the increasing the capacity expansion program is going to create a Vaughan situation. If you remember the change in Vaughan that went through the planning and the problems we had there. So I think that the if I can ask that we have a bigger sense of urgency and perhaps use traffic enforcement as quickly as possible, and would you take that on board to ensure that your colleagues know the importance of enforcement in the time leading up to this expansion programme coming into being?
Yes, thank you very much for that, Bill. And also, as you're aware, as you're on the school expansion stakeholders reference group with me, and you know that one of the biggest concerns was traffic with the residents.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that we're going to put additional resources into, and we're going to work with schools as well to develop their travel plans as they do their travel plans every year. And also, it's something at our stakeholders reference group. We are going to have somebody from the transport there and from the travel, and that's one of the things that we're going to look at. Thank you, Bill.
And can I just point out, the problem is, if there are now going to be lots of additional things, if you have to wait for people for 5 minutes, you have to, you can't use CCTV, et cetera, this will have a knock-on effect on what we can do at schools. So whilst on the one hand, residents complain at getting PCNs, on the other hand, residents complain that PCNs aren't handed out. So as you know, as a councillor, it's very, very difficult to get the balance right here. Do you want to ask your next question? You've put it to me, but to be honest, and I'm not allowed to call it the bee tax because he goes mad, Barry is going to answer the next question on the bee tax.
Okay, Barry, looks like you're the guy. Within Harrow, the majority of residents of working age who claim housing benefit are in work. Following the introduction of the bedroom tax by the government in April 2013 that unfairly penalised people, predominantly those with disabilities, how many residents have been contacted who, due to having been entitled to housing benefit since the 1st of January 1996, have had their eligible rent wrongly assessed, and what fair and consistent actions are being taken by the council to ensure that the arrears are paid?
Thank you very much. And I sort of this use of a tax term, which actually is a spare subsidy, which the coalition government, which I do notice you did drop the word Tory, which after all sort of Peel's Tamworth Manifesto kind of removed us from that era. So the coalition government's proposals. Now, it's important to, if we're actually talking about something, to actually understand what we're talking about. And the problem with this whole area has been one of complexity about different discounts and different claims and entitlements and so on. And the whole attempt to try to simplify and make it easier to clarify what people are entitled to and how to claim is a step in the right direction, and I think that's welcome cross-party. The actual enunciation may not be as good as we might want, but at least it's moving in that direction. In the case we're talking about, I am advised some 270 residents fall into this sort of grouping. And at the moment, we are undergoing a... They have not yet been contacted, but we are undergoing a manual check to make sure that this is the correct number and we've correctly identified exactly which individuals or households are affected by this. And that should be completed towards the end of this week, and then we'll be looking to write to them and notify them sort of by then, sort of next week. So this we're trying to do as quickly as possible, but making sure that we get it done accurately. In terms of making sure that any rent arrears that are owed, we'll be seeking to sort of recoup those. We'll make sure that if people are in arrears, that we will be doing so in a manner that is reasonable, that we don't ask it all in one go. We make sure that people can afford that repayment plan if they are in arrears, which I think is the appropriate way forward. But we will not be willing to let people off being in arrears. If we have got actual monies owed to people, then we'll be again sort of looking to try to get that back to them, sort of refunds within a week of having sort of contacted and ascertained and clarified exactly what is owed by us to them in this circumstance. So that's where we're taking it.
Not my supplementary leader, but can I just ask some clarification, because 270 sounds a strange number. We're talking now about that group of people who should not be subjected to housing, to the bedroom tax, because their benefits, housing benefits, started before the 1st of January 1996. Is 270?
What I've been informed by officers is the number.
Okay. I expected a much lower number, it has to be
but,
said.
But again, this is the initial findings of it. We hope to have it sort of absolutely clarified. We sort of received the sort of government directive for and the housing benefit section commenced its initial assessments, and so we're not certain that that is a definite answer yet, but we are looking to try to clarify exactly what we're doing, what numbers are available, and then to try to bring that into line, making sure that people have got the right level of rent sort of that they should be paying, either too much or too less. We'll be, if there's too much, we'll be refunding. If it's too less, we'll be seeking to recoup through the rent arrears process.
Okay, perhaps we'll clarify that when we've got the specific figures, give it to both the group, other group leaders, and to make sure you get a copy. Okay, I think you're asking me the next one.
No, that was just clarification. I'd like a supplementary on that one, if I may.
Well, a quick one, because really that was...
Yeah, it is very quick.
Very quick, then.
It's about what publicity and other work is the council, because you've covered some of this anyway, undertaking to ensure that claimants are aware of their entitlement in view of the provisions whereby eligible rent must be determined in accordance with the legislation.
Where legislation is changing and so on, and keeping abreast of that is important to do. And someone who has assumed that they have their rent at a given point of time, and then legislation directives change, we need to get that, make sure that that is reflected in their bills to them. We run a number of different campaigns using homing in through letters directly to households. We identify people through sort of our own sort of system of records. We've got CAB, for instance, have been contracted to help us raising awareness about welfare changes. So there's a whole range of things aimed at different sort of groups of people who are affected differently by this, and clearly we will be looking to do more and ongoing on that, because it's only fair, it's only right that people who do need assistance get the assistance that they justly deserve. Those who claim more, we will seek to crack down on and seek to get back and prevent fraudulent claims. Those who are not getting the correct amount of that, we're always looking to assist in getting that, because if people aren't getting the right number amount of money, leader, then they potentially get in worse problems. So
exactly,
it's only fair that we do the right thing by them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, I think you're asking me the next one. Well, let's speed through some of these so we can finish all the questions.
Absolutely. Is it fair that one in eight households in Harrow live in fuel poverty, bearing in mind, of course, your that your group's priority is fairness.
Oh, right, okay.
Sorry.
I was wondering what was happening there. Okay, it is undesirable that one in eight households in Harrow live in fuel poverty, as this can have serious consequences for residents' health and their physical and mental well-being. Agree on you with that. It is difficult to determine the reasons for this, but it may be due to factors such as local geography and the particular age and style of some of our housing. Rising levels of fuel poverty is a national issue, which has much to do with rising fuel costs, which, of course, Ed Miliband didn't help at all by slapping green taxes onto energy bills. Foolishness, quite frankly. Anyway, the fallout from the banking crisis didn't help, and so thank you, Gordon Brown, for that. The focus on tackling fuel poverty, therefore, has to be on insulating homes and reducing overall energy use. Having said that, we're putting a plane into the air to do a grid system on where there's fuel leaking out of roofs, where it's very badly insulated. Then we're hoping to take any assistance from the government we can, going to those properties, helping particularly older people or people that are in the poorer bracket, get assistance with lagging for the roofs, etc., which will help, no doubt. We're hoping once we've got this map done to put it on the internet so that people will be able to zoom in themselves to see just how fuel efficient their houses are. And that's when we can certainly go in and help poorer people and elderly to see what we can do. Do you have a supplementary?
I think you've covered most of what I want in the supplementary. Anyway,
oh, excellent, thank you.
So we'll move on to three,
if you
like.
Let's move on to trees, I think.
Yeah,
one of my favourite subjects.
Bane of my life.
It's either
no trees, they're destroying my house, or they're blocking my light. But how many trees have been lost after the recent storms?
Okay. Between the St Jude storm and the storms just before Christmas, there was around about 400 trees have been lost. Clearly, this is quite devastating for lots of people, and it's reflecting an awful lot on the fact that not enough money has gone into trees over many years. It really hasn't. We don't have a proper cyclical maintenance programme, etc. Having said that, I have found £100,000 with the aid of Councillor Ferrari and Simon, very ably assisted. And that money is going to go into where we've got problems with trees, not only replacing them, and hopefully the replacement programme will be finished by September. Clearly, we have to look at weather when we plant trees. But also to look at where we've got the dangerous trees and get those removed and to start doing cyclical maintenance. We get a lot of complaints about trees, which, of course, is obvious because we haven't put enough money into them. So we're addressing that situation because it needs addressing. That's what the residents of Harrow want. And we're very proud of this, aren't we, colleagues? Yeah, thrilled. Do you have a supplementary?
Just a brief one. What also concerns me is the replacement of the trees. Mm-hmm. And also, I notice that where trees have disappeared, we're not paving. We're just tarmacking. Can you tell me what you're going to do about replacing the trees or repairing where they've been?
We certainly hope to be replacing the trees. We're quite passionate about trees, always have been. £100,000 going into that system, we put our money where our mouth is, we always do. So we're looking to replacing. Sometimes trees have been put in a very inappropriate place, so we need to look at that as well. Clearly, sometimes residents don't want trees specifically outside because they want to apply for a crossover, so we must look at that. Sometimes in the past, inappropriate trees have been put in, trees that grow far too big for street use, so we're looking into that as well. But where possible, £100,000 will go a long way. I'm very grateful to colleagues that use their NIS funding to go to trees. That's capital. This money that we have found, thank you, gentlemen, is actually revenue, so it can go for cyclical maintenance as well as replacing. We can do what we like with it in order to bring this backlog of complaints about trees into line and to replace the trees that were damaged or lost completely in the storms. So that's really good news, isn't it? I'm thrilled. Yeah, so are my colleagues. Thank you. Right, okay, we come to the last question. We're way out of time, but this is an important question. So, Krishna, would you like to come up and ask it?
Thank you, Chair. My question is to you is, Susan, in October you ordered an investigation into allegations of institutional racism in Harrow Council. In a borough with nearly 60% of BAMI, BAME population and significant BAME staff, could you please provide an update, as 3 months have elapsed, on the progress of the investigation, including when an outcome can be expected?
Okay, this is a very important issue. I've said so right from the beginning, and I do believe it is. I did set out the need for an investigation into the allegations of racism made by one individual member of Harrow Council in October last year, which I also see as being a key part of my fairer priority for the council. To date, I've met with the mayor, I've met with the leader of the Independent Labour Group and the leader of the Labour Group to discuss the issue and to try and gain consensus of how we take this matter forward, because it's not as simple as would first seem. When I announced the investigation, I was hoping to move forward as quickly as possible, but this was always going to be a subject to getting the sign-off to the terms of reference as to exactly what the review should consider, because that is vital that we do that, or it could just go on forever, never come to any conclusions, not be specific enough. And I felt that it was right that we as group leaders should agree these terms of reference, as this would ensure the credibility of both the process and the conclusions of a review. I saw sign-off by the three group leaders as best way to avoid such an important review being undermined. That's why we've got to get buy-in. This work will be funded by taxpayers' money, which also means it's absolutely essential that it is sound and, as I said before, has buy-in. Anything short of that risks setting in motion a review where the taxpayers and residents of Harrow won't get a good deal, and that's unacceptable. It's also critical that the person leading such a review has a high level of objectivity and independence, and it's also someone who can demonstrate a full understanding of the issues being considered, which is more difficult than one might imagine. However, it would be wrong to bring in someone to look at something as sensitive as race allegations without making sure that we are asking them to look at it as a robust and fully signed up to by all of the parties and organisation. As a way of progress, I would like to set up a meeting before the end of January between the three leaders to try and get resolution on the way forward. I'm hearing different things, and we've got to get some sort of resolution. So I would suggest, and since they're both sitting with me now, I would suggest and ask, are you both prepared to come and have a meeting with me before the end of the month so that we can try and thresh out the parameters of this particular investigation so that we all know what we're going to look at and how wide the scope is going to be? Gentlemen. Yes? Excellent. Right. David Mercier, will you please organise that by the end of the month? So you have commitment there. Clearly, it depends what the parameters are that we all agree on. And I'm very much in the gentleman's hands because it's got to be looked upon in a serious way. We'll see what the parameters are, and then that will give us more of an indication as to how long it will take. To be honest, the fact that it's done properly is far more important, in my view, than how long it takes. Do you have a supplementary?
Thank you for that, Susan. You know, I'm pleased to hear that. My supplementary is that, just pushing it a little bit, because I, as you know me, I call a spade a spade, and I get into trouble often for that, but that's just me. So given that the recent Employee Consultative Forum report has made some very critical findings, has some very critical findings backed by statistics, do you share my grave concern that we must not be seen to be posturing? I know you've just said that and you've explained, so I take it that you're not doing that. But I also want to be absolutely sure that in coming years, we will be reflecting the population. And do you share my concern about that as well, that we do need to reflect our population that we are serving?
Yes, I agree with that. I also agree that the best person for the job, a job, is equally justifiable. It's a balancing act, and in some jobs or professions, sometimes you get only men apply, very few women, which is not level, mm-hmm. but nevertheless, it's how it is. And equally, there are other jobs and professions where mainly women apply. And we balance as best we can. We have to look at ways of doing things better, absolutely for sure. But equally, we have to look at all the different pressures around. And there are so many. It's not as simple as one would think it is. And I think we'll all accept that. And yeah, I know you were in nursing, more women go into nursing than men. Mm. In the fire brigade, they're desperate to try and get more women into the fire brigade, but far less women want to be firefighters. And I can say that because I've worked on those things. So we have to bear that in mind. We have to face things as they are. But we must look for equal opportunities for everybody. And that's the clue, is equal opportunities. Yes. And that, to me, is more important than anything else. Indeed. Everybody should be given a fair chance at either a job or a position or anything else. Thank you for your question.
Thank you,
Krishna. Now we've